Do you have questions about American root work?
Have you ever heard of mojo bags or conditioning oils and haven't a clue what they do? Or perhaps just felt a call to conjure?
Well, grab a lamp and strike a light and follow us to the crossroads. I'm Dr. Hobb, a journeyman Memphis conjure doctor.
And I'm Silver Shadow, a Chicago area Strega witch beginning his journey into root work.
Welcome to Lamplighter Blues, shining a light at the crossroads of American hoodoo, conjure, and root work.
Don't put that thing on me, 'cause I'm going back to Tennessee.
Welcome to another Lamplighter Blues. No, we have not disappeared, yet we have returned. With us, we have Atticus Hobb, the newly rebranded.
Yeah.
And as a special guest today, we also have Papa Newt.
Hello.
So, it's been a while, guys.
Yes, we've been busy.
Yes, we have. Actually out there doing the work. Pending the Hellmouth.
Yeah, pretty or otherwise, doing the work.
So, today we were hoping to get together and talk a little bit about Saint work. As it's something that, so far, I think all three of us have really stepped up to at least adopt one Saint altar in our house.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think Newt actually has more than one.
I do, actually.
Well, good. You're the man to talk to, then.
And that's a good point to start with, really, is that saint work, in traditional conjure, saint work's not universal. A lot of traditional Southern conjure especially comes from a Protestant background. And depending on how hardline the Protestant, which Protestant denomination you're talking about, saints aren't really welcome or tolerated. Of course, when you get into saint work, you're talking about a pretty strong Catholic foundation. So again, you look into the centers of where conjure came from, New Orleans, Baltimore, those are the ones that usually come to mind. And here more recently, I guess you're hearing about stuff coming out of Texas and Southern Louisiana, stuff like that with the influence from Mexico. So while saint work is not universal in old school conjure, it's definitely growing. And you'd be hard-pressed to find a lot of modern workers who don't work with one, who don't have one saint in their house or one saint in their work.
Absolutely, and I think that's something that's really coming up to into the news and stuff recently, too. There's a lot of people who are even public figures coming out talking about saints that are less than conventional.
There's sure a lot of news about Less Than Teaspoon Muerte lately, mm-hmm. And that's very, very interesting how much she's showing up in mainstream news.
Yeah, that blew my mind when I saw that. We'll have to see if we can dig up that article. I think Magnuson sent that to me.
There have been a few. If I can dig out the ones I had on some of the major news services, I'll post them as well.
Yeah, and I will. I believe I have it posted on my Papa Newt Facebook page, so I will look that up now as we continue talking.
Oh, okay. Is that the is it like a senator or something? Who's this guy?
Well, I think the article that I posted was more about the Vatican disavowing Dispo Muerte. that Vatican. But
that was pretty recent. That was just in the last few days, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Made that.
Or a couple of weeks ago, actually, I think. Yeah. But I'll find it.
Well, since even what if they, that's a very specific saint. That's specifically you're going to find mostly Mexico, Central America. So that's even more for far field we're talking about as far as saint work and in conjure, traditional conjure. So what kind of Newt, you're more averse on this than we are, just as far as general practice. What saints do you see the most often used in conjure work?
A lot of that I see is especially like Saint Jude. Saint Jude has been a big one that I sometimes will look into the newspaper, and every now and then we'll see the "Thank You, Saint Jude" message. Of course, the Saint Joseph. I've seen so many people ask questions about working with Saint Joseph, especially to sell houses, to protect a home, so things along those lines. But then you have your not in the, at least as far as the church is concerned, he's not a saint, Saint Expedite.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's another one. I actually, in my area, I mean, I'm in Nebraska, which not too many people think of conjure work taking place out here. But you'll be surprised. There, every now and then I will see a little post in the paper, "Thank you, Saint Expedite."
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to check that out. I've never looked at our paper to see if someone has publicly thanked a saint.
Now, that's a standard sort of offering to the saints, right, for assistance? Is public some public notice of their assistance?
Yeah, especially the St. Jude and St. Expedite. They really do like such an offering as that. But, you know, you have your other saints. I mean, there's just so many, to be honest.
On a St. Michael, St. Michael seems pretty universal.
Yep, St. Michael.
That always got Michael me.
Pretty universal.
That they say St. Michael instead of Archangel Michael.
Well, it's the same.
Yeah. I've heard both titles used, actually, at the same time. You'll hear him called Archangel Michael or Saint Archangel Michael. You'll hear him called both.
See, I always assumed that the saint was a person who had lived and actually been on the earth, you know?
That's what you get for assuming.
I know. But well,
I do apologize. There is one, as it was explained to me as a young Catholic boy growing up here in Nebraska, is, you know, that Archangel Michael came to live a human experience, you know, live a human life. And that's, you know, that's what I was told. Now thinking about it, I haven't done much research into that, and that's what I'll be doing later tonight. you know, but that's just one of those things that was explained to me. And I was like, oh, you know, okay, cool.
That's an interesting correlation you see with some of the Orishas. And you look at Lokumi, some of the Orishas, you know, you look at Chungo or some of the others who have had those sort of life experiences. And that's a good time to bring up something we talked about earlier. Lokumi, of course, in the Vulgate, is referred to as Santeria classically, which does mean worship of the saints. That was a derogatory term by the Spanish who misunderstood what the Africans were doing. They assumed that this, them using the saints as the masks for the Orishas, that they were worshiping them, so they gave it this title. It's not really what they were doing. They understood sort of where the differences lay. But because we're talking about saint work, and because there is saint work in some traditional conjure work and a lot of modern conjure work, we are not talking about an African diasporic practice as far as the use of the saints in this. We are talking about African-American hoodoo and conjure type work. And there, again, even though a lot of it was Protestant, there was some saint work, especially around the Catholic regions, and it has grown to be a little more universal now. But we are not talking about voodoo. We are not talking about Lukumi. None of that. Not what we're getting into today.
Right. And that is something that gets constantly thrown back and forth. But if you talk to certain spiritual workers, I think even Candelo had said that he is a spiritual worker that works with saints, but they are never the same as anything else he works with. He works with a saint as a saint, and he works with his other spirits as whatever it is that they are.
Sure. Yeah. Even in situations where the saints, like with the Orishas, where the saints can have those correlations, you know, and of course, I'm no expert, I'm not initiated, but some of the you know, some of the santeros, some of the people I've talked to that do the work, have been quick to tell me, you know, we know the Saint Barbara is not Chungo, but that's the mask they use. You know, that's how some of this works. We know Saint Lazarus is not bubbled away. It's neither here nor there. It's interesting, but it's not what we're talking about.
Right. Correct. So, on an entirely different topic, let's going backwards, before I guess we talk about working with the saints, it's a good thing to bring up and ask about what would you give in return when you work with saints? Because usually with this kind of work, you say, okay, I need this done, I need to have these things happen, and if you do that, I will give you X, Y, or Z.
Well, I think what's actually really important before all that is establishing a relationship with the saint.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, a lot of people, I know there are folks that are truly in need, so they come out and pray to a saint asking for help, and that's totally understandable. But if you're not in need, take the time to learn about the life of the saint. By doing that, you start to understand who they were in this life, their likes, dislikes, such things along those lines. So I do encourage anybody listening to really spend some time, even if nothing else, if you get an image of a saint, just light a candle and just say thank you for all that you do, for all that call upon you, and the help that you provide. Thank you for what you have done in your life, you know, and just go from there.
And not just courtesy, but self-preservation can come into this, depending on the saint that you're working with.
Yeah.
Because you start trying to work with someone, we mentioned La Santissima Muerte, you start trying to work with someone like her, or you start trying to work with someone like Saint Cyprian, who's becoming very popular among workers, and you just decide you're going to sit down and tell them what's what, they can turn your life upside down.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there are some saints that, you know, people hear the word saint, so they think they're this, you know, perfect being and stuff. No, they're a human. You know, there were, some of them were jerks. I mean, come on. Nice. It's just they had that connection with divinity, you know, whatever you call it, God, goddess, the big maybe, whatever you call it. They had that connection, you know, right. Especially in this case within the Catholic faith. But it's just, you know, if you come to them and start demanding that they take care of this and bring in money or success or whatever it is, then no. No.
You might just get a what for, I mean, for the trouble. So yeah. Courtesy will carry us a long way in all relationships, whether we're talking about people or spirits.
You can't go up to a stranger on the street and ask for $100, you know. I mean, it's very rare that you'll actually get it, but it's not going to happen. So yeah, most importantly, just do spend some time learning about the saint, their life. Just by doing that right there, you have everything you need to know of, like, what do they enjoy for offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very important when you get into the payments. But all right, so say we have our relationship started, we have our altar built. We know a little bit about it. How do you approach a saint when you're doing work?
You know, I like to go up to their altar and just kind of do a little knocking, you know, because it's kind of like I'm going to their house, so I'm knocking on the door. And, you know, I should actually back up. I do apologize. First, pray to divinity, the highest power, you know, the divinity as you perceive it.
Okay.
Because without that, nothing would be. That's the first thing. It's just doing prayers, you know, for me, I will start with at least three Our Fathers, three Hail Marys, just to get started. And then I'll go to the altar and knock on their altar, and I'll just say for, like, if I go up to Saint Expedite, it's like, you know, knocking, and it's like, Saint Expedite, I call upon you. Saint Expedite, be here with me. Saint Expedite, you have quickly come and assisted those who have called upon you with swiftness. I call upon you to be here with me now to hear my plea. Something along those lines.
That sounds very rehearsed. I liked it.
I've used it once or twice. but it's just, you know, and also with the learning of the story of the saint, you really reinforce that connection by bringing up things, what they did, like, say, Martha the Dominator, you know, Saint Martha, you subdued the dragon. You know, you bring those little elements of the saint when you're calling upon them.
And you're not starting from scratch with these. I mean, there's so many novena prayers and things for the saint.
God.
That if you're not feeling terribly poetic, I mean, just do a little research and you'll find, you know, these well-established, these long-used prayers.
Or even litanies.
Right.
Those are great as well, so.
Mm-hmm. You could just buy a novena candle and flip it over.
Sure, I mean, hit the Catholic bookstore, man. I mean, any of 1,000 books about the saints will discuss some of these prayers.
Yeah, yes. And it'll be there in both English and Spanish.
Depending on where you're hanging out at, that's right.
Yep. And if you go to a certain Botanicas, then it's not in English.
No, it's just Spanish, and then you're kind of, yeah.
Google Translate, you think that would roll out?
No, I wouldn't recommend it.
Probably fail miserably.
That sounds like a problem waiting to happen to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just, you know, either, you know, for me, I do understand the language decent. I'm not the best at it, but, you know, that helps me. But I do have really good friends to double check to make sure did I translate this correctly.
I had no idea that you spoke even a single word of Spanish.
Yeah, just a little.
I am impressed. Even more so if you can do whole novenas in Spanish. That's fantastic. Oh,
I'm working towards that.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it's just, you know, it's the prayers is so important. Calling upon the higher power, God, and then calling upon the saints, praying to them first, and then present what you're coming to them for, what you need their assistance with, and don't come up to them demanding. I love my ceremonial magicians. I have some really great people I know, but I've met a few that come towards saints for the first time, and they treat them as if they were summoning a spirit, which I still don't think you should demand or unless they're, you know, causing a ruckus and
demanding them to leave.
Yeah, unfortunately, the grimoires have caused a lot. The way the grimoires have been perceived, the way they're written word by the word, they've done a lot of harm, I think, for people's relationships with spirits. And a lot of that, they don't realize, they don't do the research into the history of the grimoires. They don't realize that a lot of that was camouflage. You know, a lot of that was put there to keep the Inquisition from burning them alive for writing these books. So they put them in this framework and put this sort of, you know, this heavy-handed...
I'm defeating evil with my big sword.
Well, this heavy-handed sort of presence, this power of God thing, you know, that's their right and privilege to command these spirits. And they don't realize a lot of that was put in there as a smokescreen. That's put in there to distract from their actual content. And it's really, I think, done a lot of harm in the way we deal with spirits.
Yeah, these are your allies. Once you get that relationship, these are your allies, and treat them like you would with your best friend.
And again, not to say all spirits are beer and Skittles.
But, oh gosh, yeah,
you can certainly run into some ruckus there if you're not careful. Yeah. But you're not gonna make any friends if you come in there telling them what's what, you know, laying down the law. And
so speaking of that, because this is something that I know a lot of people do, but to me it's horrifying. Talk a little bit about the removal of saint objects in order to get what you want. In particular, the ones that always ring in my head is the removal of Santissima Morte's hands, the taking of Cimprian's staff.
Or turning the statues upside down.
You know, I can't say too much about Santissima Morte. I respect her because, I mean, come on, you got to respect death. But I don't fully work with her. I have contraband all these great, excellent book. I do have work with Saint Cyprian, but I don't take away or turn up anybody upside down. Just out of the level of respect. Now, I will say I do have a Saint Anthony statue with a removable baby Jesus.
Oh man!
and I only have removed the baby Jesus only on extreme circumstances. I had one person who, I mean, she worked hard and made a lot of money and was all cash, and she lost it. And she really needed it to pretty much help and take care of her family. I mean, this was very important. So I did take, you know, I explained what was going on. I apologize for what I was about to do and just stress to please come through quickly. And you know, after doing something like that, I will give them lights, you know, a candle, water, you know, those wonderful, pretty much like, thank you. I am so sorry I had to do that. This was truly an emergency.
And again, that comes down to the way you approach it, too. Because again, you're doing something, and you're like, listen, I'm really not trying to piss you off. I just really need your attention. You know, I need your undivided attention for a second. So again, it comes down to the way you approach it, too.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not about turning a statue of Saint Joseph upside down to sell a home. You know, go
they
ahead.
They do sell those kits.
Well, yeah, and they say they're right there in the instructions. I've read them. You know. Some people have luck with that. For me, I personally don't feel that way. But one awesome thing I think is wonderful is, you know, go ahead and bury it, or even just display St. Joseph in the home you're trying to sell. And then also, not only just because the scent of bread is great, makes it the place sound, feel very homely, but it also is an offering to St. Joseph.
See, that's a good one. They always tell you to bake cookies or whatever, you know, to get the house smelling like it has bounty and things when you're trying to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to, you know, two birds with one stone type of thing, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm.
That's very good. And again, it comes back to the fact that you're working with these saints. It's not like you're walking up and, you know, slapping them on the ass and telling them what you want. You know, it's just... You really have to approach these relationships with a degree of respect and give the saints the dignity they deserve.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. The first time I had read that, it horrified me to think that somebody was going to take the hands off of death, knowing that sooner or later, you're going to have to put them back on or else.
Yeah. I think that comes down to that's a cultural difference, too. I think that's more when you get down into Mexico, Central America type of bit of, and I could be wrong, again, I'm no expert, but what I think I've read is that's a lot of that's the Latin America type, when they will take things away from the saints, and that relationship's just a little different.
Sure.
When I had read that book that Ollie had written, and it pretty much cured me of ever of ever thinking that I could do that. It's just that's way too heavy for me. I guess I'm more lady-hearted than I want to admit.
It's all right.
I'm trying to get my relationship with Saint Cyprian right first, but I'm gonna try to. I'm gonna see if she'll work with me. So we'll see.
And see, that's the weirdest thing, because I have no problem, you know, working, talking, sitting with Cyprian.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different.
Well, it's just difference in personality. It's just not
exactly
your
energy.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term, is different. And you mentioned how you know, the cultural aspect as far as you believe with Santis Muerte. I was just thinking while you were talking about that with Saint Anthony, and I believe, bear with me, I could be wrong. I believe it is in Turkey, where on the Feast of Saint Expedite, women would go to a church and remove the baby Jesus from Saint Anthony's arms in order to find a husband.
I think I have read that before. But again, I don't remember where or not. But that does sound familiar.
So you know, it can definitely be a cultural thing.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to how I think it comes down to the cultural familiarity with those people and with those saints.
Exactly.
But we have said before, and we will say again, it bears repeating. If you're approaching this for the first time, the relationship with these saints, you know, approach them like you would a stranger that you want to get to know. Mm-hmm. You know, take the time, learn about them, take the time to get to know them, and don't. If you have to come to them in a time of need, they understand that. You know, they help people. That's what they do. You can't. It doesn't guarantee they're going to help you, because not all mm-hmm. saints work with everybody. And those, just like any other relationship, not everyone's compatible. But do, if you know you're going to try to develop a relationship with that particular saint, take the time to do it right way before you come to them with a crisis.
Exactly. Yeah. Spend some time, even just pick a day where you'll go light a candle and just go to their altar and just mm-hmm. talk with them. You know, it's just like with any relationship.
Now, speaking on that, there is sort of a database or book or some location you can go to find out things like the saint's day when his feast day is. So, like the day of the week versus his feast day, which is mm-hmm. you know, one time of the year. Where would you go to find that type of information?
Well, let's see. There was a Catholic site that I go to, and I unfortunately don't have it on me at the moment.
Well, we can always show note that bad boy.
We'll have to find it, because I'm pretty sure it's the same site I use. It's just one that comes up the easiest when you go looking. It is
Catholic.org/saints is one that I do look at. Now, of course, do keep in mind that the Catholic Church does not recognize certain saints, so they're not all going to be here. Mm-hmm. There are books such as Judica Isles' Encyclopedia of Saints and such. You know, always double check your information in there. I mean, it's still a nice reference, though, mm-hmm. for their feast days and getting ideas of offerings.
Mm-hmm. But, I will echo what you said, that do double check your references.
Yeah, just because, you know, what's really important, don't let, even though there is information about the saint, but still do your research about their lives.
Well, what you're going to run into is, like with anything else today in modern magical practice, it's just gotten to be such a mash, is that you will find a lot of people who are trying to commandeer saints or trying to mishmash them into other traditions or to incorporate them into things where they don't really fit all that well. So there's some misguided information available right. about the saints.
And that itself, the self-discovering and the research and things is all a part of almost an offering of when
it
you're
is.
Trying to establish that relationship.
Right.
To know that that spirit will be able to understand this guy has done his research, or, you know, gal. They know what I do. They know who I am, more or less, or as, you know, as best can be described with the materials we have at hand. And,
yes, and you've made a sacrifice of your time and effort
right.
to do so, to understand that person.
Exactly.
So now we have a general idea of how to get started. We know a little bit, which I guess we could talk about it a little bit more in a second, what to do once they've come through with you. But let's say I want to start up an altar.
Mm-hmm.
What type of things would I want to put on this altar? And I guess we'll just use Expedite, since that's Newt's forte, it seems.
Well, you know, I started out because St. Expedite's, like, statuary is somewhat of a challenge to find. Though you can keep it very simple, and this is just for really any saints. If you happen to find, like, a prayer card, and these are excellent, you can use that image of the saint to focus when you're praying. But if you can't, for whatever reason, cannot find the saint's prayer card, for example, like if you are feeling drawn to Saint Joseph, for example, well, why not find you? There are, you can go to a toy store or such things and find little like items of carpentry tools.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Or just get some carpentry nails and hammer, and it's like Saint Joseph. This is for you. This is for me to represent you. But, you know, that also comes with, again, researching their lives. But the prayer cards are the best tool. You don't need a whole lot of space, to be honest, because some people, they live in an apartment or a studio apartment, and there's not a whole lot of space. So just use what you can. Prop that prayer card up. Have a glass of water. Refresh your spirits, you know, cool them off. Have a little place where you can give them a light, especially if you're going to set a day. Like for me, St. Expedite's Day, I give him a light is actually, well, today is Wednesday, so he gets a light.
Oh, so this could kind of be the St. Expedite show then.
It sure is. We can offer this up to him.
Yeah, yeah. We could do a lot worse than St. Expedite for us trying to fumble our way through this.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's just, you know, using the color that they're associated with, you can get a cloth to lay down, but if nothing else, a white cloth, a white handkerchief even, just to decorate this space for your saints that you'll be working with. Because you're in a sense, you're giving them a home inside your own home.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much exactly what I've done with my shrine. I have a Saint Cyprian shrine, which it does pretty much have that exactly. I have a cloth laid out over the top, which is purple, his color. I have a glass of water that's always on it that gets changed regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I have a set for candles, which, when I burn candles for him, I do it in sets of nine,
mm-hmm, yeah,
which takes a lot of candles. There's actually the lady who owns a local metaphysical shop will set those candles aside, and she orders so many for me constantly.
But the reward for to lighting those nine candles is beneficial.
Oh, it's spectacular. Even better, that the stuff you put on his altar are your magical tools and tomes and stuff.
Correct. And this made me think of something, too, that sometimes when a saint, or really I've had this with other spirits I work with, when they really want something to be placed on their altar or something to have for their growth, they will make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
They will bring the money in so you can get it for them, or set up or work a situation so that item or items will come into being.
Yeah, that worked out with me when I finally was able to get St. Cyprian a statue, because they were kind of hard to find. Yeah. And for me, I'm in a very limited space. I've just had my one working altar in my little apartment I live in, and St. Cyprian sits on that along with the rest of the work I have going on. He sort of keeps shop over all of it. And so far he's been very, very understanding. You know, he always has his water, and I have a cross for the glass of water and things like that. But for the most part, they understand our limitations. You know, you do what we can, because St. Lucy is the only other saint I really work with on a regular basis, and I don't even have a space set aside for her. I have a picture of her up, but I have a little St. Lucy charm that goes with me everywhere.
Excellent.
You know,
is that the saint with the eyeballs on the plate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh man!
And Saint Lucy in the traditional, in Catholicism, is the patron saint of the blind, and of course I'm blind, so that's how I came to her originally when I first started working. And in the spiritualist church, she's also a saint that's closely associated with mediumship, psychic mediumship. So when I first started getting back into my professional practice, decided to pursue it properly, she seemed like a really good fit. And she's been a great help to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember you showing me that picture, and I was like, man, you can pick the creepy ones, man.
Well, that's just a depiction of, you know, because her, unfortunately, her eyes were taken out.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the story of her life that she had to go through.
Mm-hmm. That, I guess, is something to consider, too, is that every saint that you work with was martyred.
Not all of them, but a lot of them were. There's a lot of unhappy endings to those stories in the as far as the physical lives.
So let's talk a little bit before we run out of time here, since we're getting close down there. So we have our shrine. We have gone before it. We have asked for something. We have gotten it. What do we do now?
Give him a candle. Give him... give them payment. I mean, at the time you're asking for their assistant, whatever you say that you will pay them that.
Yes, meet your obligations.
Exactly. Too often, again, going back to St. Expedite, I've had clients that he has come through for them, and I'm like, well, have you given him his pound cake or whatever they have told me that they're offering to him? I'm like, oh, no, you need to go stop right now and go do it.
Right. Some pound cake or some flowers or an ad in the paper, these are not a big deal.
Or Facebook. Facebook's awesome for St. Jude and St. Expedite. I mean,
or the Lucky Mojo Forum has a whole section.
Yes,
is it really?
Thanking the saints. Yes, thank you, Saint Espediti. Thank you, Saint Martha. There's a whole section for thanking the saints,
which is excellent, excellent.
And if you read Papa Newt's feed on Twitter, which is what?
Oh, I believe it's twitter.com/PapaNewt.
Yeah, you'll see him thank Expediti among other saints just at random, and then you know he did. he asked, and he had received.
Yeah, I've been blessed to have people refer me to do Saint Expedite work for people, and that's one of my biggest things. That no matter what, he will always get a thank you.
And you actually had put out I'm trying to remember if you did this on Twitter or Facebook or what, and how I heard about it, but during his feast day, you accept petitions and things to put on.
Yeah, you know, he has really came into my life. You know, I've in my early days of the confirmation ritual that we had to do as a young Catholic person, we had to pick a saint's name. We had to go through all these books and pick out a saint name, and of course he's not in any of the books that the Catholic Church provided, but I believe my teacher, which I actually really really enjoyed her, 'cause she was very relaxed, very not like all the other teachers I've had in the past, and she brought in some books, and I believe I want to say that I first read a little bit about Saint Expedite or saw, but it wasn't until my late 20s where I just was in a position I needed help, and he's really come through, and since then, you know, I've been having a little space, and it wasn't until I was at the Our Lady Guadalupe Church last year, where they do house, even though he's a little tucked away in the corner of St. Expedite statue there, that I dawned on me that I need to honor you by when your feast comes around, April 19th. And that's what I do now is every year, once it comes around to April 19th, I will take petitions from folks that are in need and do this whole feast. And I believe I put a picture up on the Papa Newt Facebook page.
I know that you shared that, or at least somehow it got to Twitter because I saw it.
Yeah, it's linked. The Facebook page is linked to Twitter, and I'll post that for you as well. But it's just something that, you know, it's a wonderful thing, opportunity to give back to divinity. Because I've been blessed, and I have more blessings coming, and I want to be able to give that to other people that are in need.
Mm-hmm. I try to do that at the end of September. St. Cyprian's feast day is the last, towards the end of September. It's the 26th usually. Mm-hmm. And I try to, around that week, around the last part of September, I try to take on client work. I'll try to do some pro bono work, readings and work as best I can for as a sign of respect for Saint Cyprian for helping me.
Correct. That's a good thing to do.
Wait until April this time, Newt.
You know, I do have plans in the work of just offering little extra things here and there. And, you know, honestly, you can still send in a petition. That is definitely I will take those with no cost. I will have other options if people are so willing. I've been finding out that my own little oil that I've made specifically for him has been quite popular with some folks. So I may provide that, but I will also plug Lucky Mojo's Saint Expedite Oil, which is awesome. And Dr. Ease, I just got his Saint Expedite Oil in the other day. Excellent stuff. So do check those out.
Awesome. I didn't know that he was making Expedite Oil. Now I'll have to see. He did say he was adding a bunch of stuff, though, didn't he?
Yeah, go to ContraDoctor.com.
We're plugging everybody today.
I plug the people that I respect, and they deserve it. They really do.
Absolutely. He's been on the show too, so that's exactly.
We're fortunate. We're fortunate to be part of the community we're a part of. There's some really good people.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
All right. Well, for the last couple, do you have anything that you would like to add?
Well, earlier I did mention that with the saints, they do have that connection to divinity. And honestly, I don't care what people do call divinity. You know, as I mentioned, God, goddess, the big maybe. But really, keep in mind that you are working with saints. So when working with them, do keep in mind the Christian paradigm while working with them. It's kind of a little odd to be saying, in the name of Odin, I call upon Saint Jude. You know, it really doesn't seem right. So do keep that in mind that with these saints, work within the Christian paradigm. Now, of course, you don't have to, if you're not comfortable by saying God, then say universe, divinity. Just keep that in mind.
But they may appreciate it if you do use the word God, so.
Correct.
But that in mind as well.
Exactly. It's just one of those things with working with spirits, you got to understand where they are coming from.
Right. Bob, you got anything?
Nope, I think we got it.
All right. Well, a couple of things real quick. We'll be having some more episodes here shortly, guys, so, you know, don't worry about that. Hopefully we'll have some more interviews. We may even, you know, drag Papa Newt back.
Yes, of course. And I won't kick and scream this time.
Yep. on that note, if people were trying to find Papa Newt, where would they do it?
They can always do Facebook, Papa Newt. I do have my website. papanewt.com.
And we already threw the Twitter. How about email address?
info@papanewt.com.
And you are a individual who is open to taking root work clients and that sort of work?
That is correct.
Excellent. Well, hopefully we can send a couple people your way and people can get the help they need. Maybe you and Expedite will be there when somebody needs it.
I will bless you.
All right. Well, with that, we will go to Secondhand Hoodoo.
Religion? Spirituality?
Oh yes, we are going to throw our hats down and stomp on polite conversation. We want to destroy your nice dinner parties and make you think a bit more deeply about religion, its role in society today, why we bother with it, and what it means for us as people who follow spiritual paths.
We join you to discuss religion and society from a slightly pagan perspective and throw a safe conversation out the door.
And we are Divine Community.
You can find us at divinecommunity.wordpress.com or search for Divine Community on iTunes.
Come on, you're not scared of a little bit of religion, are you?
All right, so we're back. We're going to throw some secondhand hoodoo down now. Newt, are you familiar with secondhand hoodoo and how it works?
Yes, I am.
Oh, obviously he's a longtime listener of the show. You're plugged in. I like that about you.
Oh, I think.
So, just real quick for our listening audience, what we're going to do here is I'm going to pick a hoodoo object, which is to say an object that is actually not used specifically in hoodoo, but we're going to attempt to make it so. one of the principles of hoodoo is that you use what you have available, or at least what you can find. I thought that this is a particularly good experiment in that vein. So, what we have today, and we usually will let our guests start because we apparently like throwing them under the bus first, is...
the wheels on the bus go now?
There you go. It is a scale, like a balancing scale,
mm-hmm.
with one very unique feature. The arm that normally would tilt back and forth,
mm-hmm.
you can set and put into place however you would like.
Describe that one more time.
It is a measuring scale, so you would have okay. one thing on two sides. Let's think of the scales of justice.
The justice, uh-huh.
Except that in this particular case, the arm moves and freezes wherever you would like. So, with that, Papa Newt, how would you use this item?
Of course, I am, when you say scales, I always think of justice type work. But if you can freeze it, I'm still trying to visualize this in my head. So that means one scale will always be lower than the other because you freezed it, locked it, so to speak, right?
Oh, absolutely. You could definitely do that.
Oh, gosh. I would have whatever you want to outweigh, be it the court case. You know, pretty much you're always tipping the scales in your favor.
Yeah, you could definitely do that.
I could see, putting, like, golden coins or those wonderful dollar coins. I mean, just has that gold look to them. Or just those items on that scale to outweigh whatever bad, negative, for lack of a better term, event that's taking place.
Excellent. So you're thinking within this vein that you could use it to sort of force a problem to be outweighed by something else?
That was one thought.
All right. Well, we have one thing on the floor. Hob, you want to take a crack at it?
Yeah, I had two things come to mind right away. Court case works, first thing I thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact, of course, when people like us get involved in court case work, we're not really worried about so much it running its own course. You know, we're trying to influence things.
Right.
So the fact that we could lock these scales one way or the other and, you know, we could put our client, whoever we're working for, and put them on a position. And depending on how you looked at it, when you were doing the work or how you looked at the work, either higher or lower, you know, depending on whether you wanted them to outweigh the opposition or whether you wanted them to be higher than the opposition or better thought of. Sort of above, I would think court case work would be the first thing, using it as far as mm-hmm. us tipping the scales of justice, us manipulating. The other thing I think of would be something like prosperity work, mm-hmm. where when you're trying to save towards a specific goal, and you could lock that scale in, and like you said, using coins or some representation of money, or just, you know, paper money even would be fun, to lock that scale and have that the representation of what you're drawing or what you're saving, you know, being well in excess of what you're trying to save for. You could put some representation of your goal on the other side.
All right.
Yeah, I just received the image of this item, so this helps a lot. Thanks.
I thought that might help.
Oh, yes. No, that's really...
Oh, you didn't bother to send it to me. I see how it is.
I know.
I can send the blind guy the image. Hold on.
But no, I would definitely, the tipping the scales in your favor is what really, really comes to me.
Yeah, and you could use that for so much stuff. Oh, that gosh, could be used for all kinds of things.
You know, I'm going to be up late tonight, just kind of, I'm just going to sit in meditation and see what spirit says, because that's actually kind of cool.
Well, yeah, we strive to excel in this particular show, so.
Well, it's just the things you don't think about, the things you might come across, you know, the things you might find at random that you could use. Because I can, the more I think about it, I could think about a billion ways to use something like that. Just almost any kind of work you could use that, because everything we do is to tip fate in our favor or the favor.
Absolutely.
Correct.
So that the fact that you could freeze that sort of thing and manipulate the balance visually is a very, very powerful image for the way we work.
And I was thinking while looking at this thing that it could be something that you could very easily do like a day-by-day thing. Because mm-hmm. you can free move it, it would just be, you know, like a multi-day candle spell almost. And even then, the plates are actually big enough that you
can
put candles.
Man, you can load all kinds of stuff on there.
Yeah.
Which that, that is actually a good thing to be able to do, like the because you know when you're doing a moving candle spell or with the scales you can move it, you know,
oh,
to
dang.
Your possession.
Moving candle spells.
Yeah.
What it is, you got to think of, you know, people don't consider this, but there is an ecology within the system of everything that we're working on, so to speak. Sometimes you've got to pull the roots out, you know,
right.
That's causing you just got to pull that out. But there are some things when there's opposing oppositions that you have to take into consideration, and to drastically do something will cause even more resistance. If you can at least move it, you know, ever so slightly while you're doing your work, that's going to be very beneficial.
Yeah, thinking about using it for moving candle spells, that's a whole other can of worms there.
Oh, yes.
That's extraordinary what you could do with that sort of thing.
See, I also thought about using this for helping someone's life come back into balance.
Yeah.
Where you had them outset first, and then you would bring it into balance.
Sure.
Cool.
And perhaps even then...
use it for clarity or cast off evil?
Yeah, I was going to say cast off evil. But then I thought bringing an addiction into balance isn't really... super
well, no,
helpful,
cause you could, what you could do is you could remove, you could start off with them loaded down with whatever the representation of the addiction is and gradually remove it and move it back towards balance as you remove that burden.
Okay. So this is sort of the pinching the candle out early and then bringing it to balance as it is no longer there type of thing.
It just has to do with how you approach it. Just again, like we talk about using moon phases, you know, or times of the arms of the clock, you know, how we approach the work, whether it's rising or falling, growing or reducing, you know, approach to the work. How we don't wait around, you know, Mama Star speaks very vocally about that in her new book. We don't wait. We don't wait around for the right time. We've got shit to do.
We got shit to do.
If something's sick, you give it medicine right away.
That's right.
Oh, that's very good. Is that a Mama Star quote?
I don't know.
It must be a Papa Newt quote.
It might be, but it's just true. I mean, it's like sometimes people that need to take antibiotics, they don't take all of them as they're supposed to. You know, oh, I'm feeling better, so I'm not going to finish that. You know, it's kind of the same thing with work. Sometimes it's like, oh, things are getting better. No, you haven't finished the work. Take your antibiotics. Finish that. Clear out
Finish the bath.
Finish what you
Please
start.
Please finish the bath.
Finish what you start. You know, see the thing through to the end. That you can't speak strongly enough about that, about any kind of work.
Right.
Exactly.
So, okay,
we've drifted afield.
that's all right. That's what happens when you get three workers together. So, anything else that you can think of about this scale?
About a trillion things, but I think we've hit the high points. People can use their imaginations.
Yeah, I'm actually really digging this idea of even putting, like, moon faces on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you could almost, like, you could put a, I don't know how to, like an indicator almost, that swings with it. So when the arms are tilted or whatever, it would be pointing at different phases until you could bring it to full or to dark. That would be kind of interesting. And as it's entirely white, you could paint this thing however you wanted.
Whatever you wanted with it, yeah.
That's
pretty
like
neat.
Keeping it white. I would keep it white, for me at least.
You could treat it almost like you would candles or lamps. You could decorate it. You could tie colors on it, ribbon or cloth to differentiate it, to aim it towards different things. Or hell, what you loaded onto the trays, you know, coins, chains, keys, hell, anything. You could use it for almost anything. That's probably the broadest thing we've ever had to work with.
Yeah. All right.
I just have this image of having like a doll baby on there.
Yeah.
I did too, actually, but I couldn't figure out why.
Well, any of the work we've talked about, you could use the doll baby on. Okay. Especially the clarity or the cast off evil type thing when you're trying to bring them back into balance. That'd be a perfect place to give a doll baby a ride.
So, got a question for you guys.
Sure.
Do you want to do another one? Because we have still exactly twice the amount of time that we need. We're at 10 and we usually go to 20.
You want to step in on one more while we're here?
Okay.
What we'll do is it'll be fed into another episode down the line.
Oh, no, we can do it in this one, man.
Oh, you want to go ahead and just do a double?
Oh, absolutely. I got a great one, too.
Do a double barrel? Okay.
Yeah, all right. So, since, you know, this is Papa Newt's premiere, we got to make it interesting. All right, so this one's messed up, and I'm really excited to hear what you guys are going to come up with.
I figure after that one, you gave us such a nice one there had to be
some No, you're gonna like this, and you're going to think, why don't I own a pair of these? It is a pair of horse bridle bits.
Oh.
Antiqued, I think they're probably actually iron.
Mm-hmm.
And I found them. I almost bought them, too, but I decided to just take a picture and be happy with that. But for this time, I guess we'll let Hob go first and let Papa Newt think on it.
Okay, using a bit? You want the actual bit part?
Yes, if you, I will send you guys the pictures.
Okay, well, actually, the first thing that comes to mind for me is Stop Gossip Work.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Get something in their teeth. And I want to say I think it was Candelo Kimbisa who actually mentioned that on the Lucky Mojo show at one point. That's actually used in Paulo.
Is it really?
Using horse, made a comment in the chat room about it.
Either a horse bit or bridle being used for that kind of work where you want to shut somebody up.
Wow.
And unfortunately, that's not my idea, so sorry, but that is the first thing that comes to mind for me is Stop Gossip Work.
Okay. You got anything else since that's apparently Candela's?
That's the first thing that comes to mind, and that's the one I like the most. As far as anything else you use, a bit's pretty stern. I mean, that's I could see using it for something like a keep your man at home type work when you want to steer him if your man's strained, if your man's wandering.
Yeah.
If you want to get him back in line, keep him coming back home. Or, a really brutal sort of bend over type, come get them back home if they've strayed. to get that bit in their mouth and force them back in line. You could also use it for a very harshly persuasive sort of, again, talking about cast off evil again, you want to get somebody back on the straight and narrow. Well,
mm-hmm.
Put the rein to them. All right, well, has he taken all the good ones, Newt, or you got anything on that one?
Well, you know, I was kind of thinking along the lines, you know, of really along the lines of really heavy controlling or even influencing somebody.
But that's, okay.
Yeah, that bit, that's a pretty powerful. Besides that, they're iron, right?
Yeah, that was what immediately jumped to me is that it's iron.
That's power right there.
Both the imagery of it and the fact that it's an iron object, you could do some really powerful sort of manipulation, commanding, influencing work on that. That's pretty something I got to get.
Yes. I told you.
And the iron, you know, that's very protective too.
Sure.
I kind of had envisioned using these almost as in like a spirit trap with like devil shoestrings and Spanish moss type of thing, where if you had a spirit that was causing you problems,
yeah,
you would prepare this, you know, concoction, which would basically be these iron bits hidden in this pile of, you know, let's say Spanish moss, because then you could really easily cover it and hide it, and then, you know, consecrate the whole thing, pray over it, you know, as a spirit comes in that, you know, wishes to harm this family, that wishes to do evil, I guess, which I guess I wouldn't use the word evil, but anyhow, you could lay this thing at, like, somebody's doorstep and then try and bid that spirit to come to you or come through, and then wham, it would get nailed by that, and after that point, you'd be able to use the bits in it with the iron properties to kind
to
of
drive. Yeah, you could drive it.
Yeah, and then the bit to actually move it and push it where you want it.
That's very good.
So
interesting.
And again, anything iron, you know, anything iron you can make, there's a lot of uses for both the substance itself and the actual sort of essence of the item. That's very clever. There's a lot that could be done with that on all scales. I mean, you could do stuff all over with that.
See, and yeah, I could have had a pair of them for like $8. I mean, people have horses, man, so they're gonna have antique stuff for horse riding and things. It is what it is.
Yeah, I could probably find a pair pretty. I could actually probably find some pretty easy if I got to look in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
you have to do that. That's very good.
Anybody got anything else on that?
No,
I think we gave some interesting ideas there.
I'm actually slightly frightened to see what people come up with on that. But, you know, that's, again, you know, that's one of the reasons why we do this, is because when it comes down to it, you're going to come across things like this. And for the most part, ganja workers tend to be people who are really into finding these antique things, you know, where people who keep antique lamps and, you know, a lot of things from the past, because we're sort of reliving a tradition that is from a lot of the time that these objects were in use every day. Mm-hmm. And so when you're out there looking at these things and you're going to places, even like Salvation Armies and, you know, somebody's barn sale, which is where I happen to see those, which I guess if you don't, you know, live in the country, you'll see barn sales more than if you lived in the city, for instance.
Well, it goes back to the main topic of this episode. Well, Papa Newt said earlier, these spirits, they find things they want, and they find a way for us to find them or to get them. And that can be true for random items, too. You know, we all have these spirits that help us, that work with us, and we come across things that could be beneficial to us, things that could serve a purpose. And it's these segments we do. It's again, we give people our ideas, and I'm sure people can run with our ideas if they want, but it gives you the idea, too, that we can find and use anything.
Mm-hmm. And definitely found magic.
It's absolutely found magic. And I know I'm speaking for myself, and I think I speak probably for all of us. We hear other workers who use these things in clever ways, and we're just amazed by it. We just love this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Conjure Mentalese, Chamber Pot, Crossing Lamp is one of my favorites. When I first heard about that, it just made me so happy, you know, how you use these things. And it just goes to show you can use anything.
That's right. You know, just really, really, don't overthink it. Just listen, listen to spirit,
and do the work. You know, don't plan on doing the work or wait to do the work or think about how you could do the work. Do the work and things will come together a lot of the time.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. All right. Well, do you guys have anything else to add or is that a show?
I think we're done.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Papa Newt, for coming on the show. Very happy to have you.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been a blast, and it's been a pleasure, and I'm honored.
Well, yeah, I don't know if we have to go quite that far. But
I do.
For our loyal listeners, thank you for putting up with our brief hiatus. We have been busy doing work, and it has kept us from recording, but we will do our best to keep episodes coming on a more regular basis. We have more things to do. We're not going away. We're just busy.
Right. And with that in mind, too, if you guys find something that you want on Secondhand Hoodoo, send me an email at thepaganreport@gmail.com. Or even dean@quicksilverconjure.com, as now I've got that website going. Thanks to Hob throwing me under the bus on that one.
Yeah, well, you know.
No, like it's actually been fantastic.
Like I said, you only hesitate so long until you've got to kind of go out there and do it.
Yep, because otherwise somebody's going to do it for you.
That's right. What are friends for?
Absolutely. So with that, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.
See you next time.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Lamplighter Blues. Our show can be found at iTunes and lamplighterblues.wordpress.com.
You can also reach us via Twitter at LamplighterBlue, that's with no S, or at LamplighterBlues@gmail.com. Until next time.
Don't put that thing on me. Don't put that thing on me, 'cause I'm going back to town.